This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the third interview with Lily Louie, taking place on January 7th, 1981, at her residence.
Okay, Lily. Did you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
No, in fact, I'm very grateful in many ways.
You might have to speak up a little bit.
In fact, I'm very grateful for many ways. In many ways.
Well, to have this cultural background, to have seen two, to understand two cultures, two aspects, to enjoy two kinds of food, of which, to me, to us, the Chinese food is the world's best.
Mm-hmm.
And to have ingrained and bred into us the philosophy of an older, I would say, mature culture, civilization. But I'm sure if we had not, my life would be quite different, my personality, my ability to cope would be less tolerable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good.
Okay. When anyone in your family got sick, excuse me, did your parents use Chinese medicine?
I would say possibly in the very early days. Well, truly, in my childhood, so many of these so-called medicines, vitamins, antibiotics, the selfless techniques were not known. And outside just common sense, home remedy, nourishing chicken soups, broth, rest. I don't recall really that we were often so ill.
Mm-hmm.
We were very, very healthy. We were poor, but healthy.
Mm-hmm. Did you use Chinese medicine, or you, any of your brothers and sisters, after your parents passed away?
No, it was unknown. No. As I say, we had become so completely westernized that we wouldn't know how to even, where to go to procure these things. And strangely, my mother was very westernized. She didn't insist upon any of the typical Asian ideas of Eastern ideas of the girls being very quiet, reserved, stay at homes, but she'd like to see us enjoy ourselves. And I remember even her being amused by my dancing in the house after we had obtained the first musical, what should I say, not instrument, but a victrola.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going for there where we were, that was when we were introduced to classic, good Western music. My sister had begun to work on the old Victrola, the old picture tour, the whole big cabinet arrived, and with that many fine records, most of them red seal. And she used to see me just improvising, enjoying, and she was glad of it. Instead of saying, that is not what you should be doing, you should be sitting down embroidering.
sewing, cooking, reading, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she was remarkably broad, and as I say, her parents were before her, that they had founded this, I think, Southern Baptist Girls School, the co-founders, a really wonderful person. And she was Canton.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, we're very fortunate she was broad. And she did delight in seeing us enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
She was never officious, never inclined to discipline. You see, apparently we didn't need to be that be disciplined constantly.
Mm-hmm.
We just weren't rambunctious kids. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you spent a lot of time working.
Well, I mean, even a small fry before we went out to the world to work. I mean, really, little things, you know.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things did you do for recreation?
Oh, my, we had a very happy and contented childhood. The grammar school was about a mile from us down the dirt road. And on weekends, we were allowed to bring any facilities we wish, such as tennis net, rackets, bats, balls. And therefore, our place was always a gathering, sort of a gathering place for other kids. Now, we not only in our neighborhood, but generally.
Mm-hmm.
Children were welcome, and as I said, 20 acres. So we, in those days, we could stretch a net across the street from the mailbox to a big tree and maybe not be interfered with at all for hours.
Hmm. So you played a lot of ball.
We were very free because we were all athletic.
Uh-huh. Did you do any
volleyball?
Did you do any Chinese things for recreation? Go.
No.
Play mahjong or go to Chinese movies, operas? Or
no, we're out in the country where those things didn't exist, and mahjong wasn't played that early generally, certainly not in our family. It may have been at that age, at that time, grown-ups, but I rather doubt it. I mean, the people then came were didn't have leisure, that much leisure, they had to work. Now, I won't say it didn't exist, but I never saw it. And we never had it in our home until I went to work in a large department store in the mahjong department when I was 16 years old.
Right, you were telling me about that last time.
Then I had to quickly learn because I was supposed to be the teacher.
And they were all Caucasian women.
Yes, and I was supposed to be an authority.
Were the customers mostly men or women?
Women.
Women. Now, I have heard from somebody recently that a lot of Jewish women got into playing mahjong a long time ago.
They have a leisure, and I guess a change from cards, and yet at the same time, that wasn't too different from some sorts of card games. Like, what is it they play that is quite like it, where you make sets, pairs, and sets and so forth, you know, the threes. Is it canasta? Not canasta.
Was it your impression that most of the women were Jewish women?
Were
your customers?
No, not necessarily. This place was, department store was owned by, I believe, by Moses Hamburger, who first was the first, was the founder of Hamburger's Department Store, which is now the May Company. And he left that and opened a more, so-called more exclusive store called Blackstone's, just a little south of Hamburger, or where May Company is now, at 9th and Broadway. And a very efficient and enthusiastic woman headed the mahjong department. And when I dropped in one day, she got the brilliant idea of
dressing me in a red Chinese costume to be just around, flitting around as atmosphere, and then to take the challenge of teaching when the popularity demanded on this. I buy a set if I can be taught, if I can learn something besides just a little booklet.
Why do you think it was mostly the women who played mahjong and not the men?
Well, the men are busy in the business world. They didn't have a leisure. They hadn't arrived as they have in the last, 20, 30 years, where they have leisure. Senior citizens really have not appeared on the scene until that time. Say about, I don't know, not too long before we became senior citizens. So, see, it goes back so far. Maybe you just don't think that far back. It's a little difficult for you to imagine things as they were that far back. You didn't see men around that I can recall. They're busy at their work. And of course, women, too, don't forget, women did not work out as much. Now, these would be mostly housewives whose children would be naturally at school at that time, and there would be leisure time, the afternoon gatherings, social gatherings, and don't forget there were not so many of the clubs, social clubs. People gathered, I suppose, more or less in one another's homes. So, let's get up a mahjong game. Let's get up a poker game today.
Okay. did your parents write to relatives and friends in China after they arrived? Did they send money to any relatives or friends?
I suppose they did. There wasn't, however, there was not that much to send away. I don't recall, but that is something I don't recall, but I don't think that they did. If they did, we might have noticed foreign letters and be excited about foreign stamps and so forth. You see, mother's parents were well-to-do. At least they were not poor. Now, father's parents, I don't know in the country. But there wasn't that much to go around with so many of us. And at that time, none of us working as yet, earning money, contributing. So you see, there was a long period of 11 children from, all right, on the farm from 1 to 20, 25. Of a non-earning age. So, I'm sure there was not extra money to be sent in, besides not being needed.
Right. And you and your brothers and sisters didn't send any money back after you were over on tour. Okay. When your brother George went back to work for Asia Electric Company in Shanghai, what did he actually do? What kind of work did he do?
I would imagine supervisory work. Because you see that the workers there, that no doubt would be all very native, and naturally there had to be contacts with foreign. And I don't know really too much about it. I'm sorry. I wish we did.
What was his background here before he went to China? What kind of work was he doing?
Well, I told you he trained through a Ford factory. went to, I believe, about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was to learn how to put together, to assemble a car.
That was building a car. You
uh-huh.
could build a car.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose supervised the building of. And over other, he spent, we were growing up, and he was away in the East for many years. He had his schooling. He was up at Stanford for a while. And what other special courses he took, I don't know. But outside of that, farming. He did some farming before he left. And when he realized how difficult it was and how thankless it was, he gave it up completely. And how difficult it was for us to have our little mother stuck on a little farm to keep house for the men, say about three of them, working this farm.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. Our land was so poor that you couldn't do any sort of crop farming. So he rented nearby near Compton an acreage where they planted cauliflower, cabbage. General produce. And again, that was so far back that I don't recall in detail, except that it was a very provincial setup, very humble buildings where they lived and were a separate little area where the cooking was done. Ground floor.
Mm-hmm.
So after a few years, we gave that up, and that's when we all moved completely back to the city. I was still barely 15, 14, 15. And instead of going on to school, we worked as early as we could, as it was permitted. I believe about 16, officially working.
Mm-hmm.
And then each one then, from then on, paid their own way. It just was, for us, we girls anyway, there was no time for schooling. Or the boys, they all worked. That's when the boys came to work in produce. And maybe the youngest was fortunate in going to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of jobs were many Chinese doing before World War II?
Well, I believe at that time, World War II, in the mid-40s.
Right, before then.
By that time, the opportunities had expanded somewhat from merely sales. When I first started, not even sales, you were a stock girl. You did not sell. Oh, I can't say exactly. Those who were fortunate enough to have taken a commercial course in typing, shorthand, bookkeeping, probably were in white collar work. Blue collar work, would that be? Anyway, it was a little while, and it took a few years, as in the case of my sister, to complete her RN course in San Francisco and became a supervisor of surgery in a very short time. She trained in, I think I told you, San Francisco General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it did build up, but it was a hard climb, a long climb. And of our friends, our acquaintances, I can say that all of these people that we grew up with, knew of, that we kept in contact with, worked, say, at I Magnus, as top girls, as rappers, messenger girls, not yet as sales girls, but sometime.
When did the sales position become open to Chinese women?
Well, as time went, and then as Caucasians graduated into higher work, became execs, and so forth. Oh, don't ask me these questions. It's just an involvement of like going upstairs. You know, I can't give you dates.
Mm.
Goodness. But it evolved, and so there you see them now, executives. And I've just read in the newspaper, very interesting, the Chinese hospital is, I think, actually being built down in Chinatown, and a Betty Chu and a Jane Fong are the two women. I don't know if I put the article in here. Not men, but they are heading it. Now there you are. And Tishman Company is building it. It will be a 6-story building. We'll have 24-hour around-the-clock medical care. No emergency 24-hour exists in the Chinese hospital or dispensary today. And it's scheduled to be completed November of 81. Now, we were very much taken by the fact two women, no mention of men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to be built at Yale and College and up ways from where the French hospital is now, just a little west of Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, they've gone into real estate. They've done very well. They've many doctors, several doctors, dentists. Of course, nurses always. But in big business, in banking, managerial positions of all kinds,
mm-hmm.
apartment house managers and
mm-hmm.
owners, they become very successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it used to be said that the Chinese were among the wealthiest of the minority groups, but they never flash it, never show it.
Do you think that's true? I mean,
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see them going around in always in cabs and Lincolns and making public their success. They're very modest, and in fact, they're more apt to be very private about their personal affairs. But there are many, very many, and the majority own their homes. And they're usually not just merely a cottage or a house, but sizable. Some have estates.
Mm-hmm. What was an average income before the war? What was an average income before
the
war?
I just know that ours couldn't even count as income. I recall when, say, six of us lived in a bungalow, the rent was, to begin with, 30, 35, at least as much as 40, but it went to 40, and maybe a little higher. And it took all of us to chip in to pay that. So you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no such thing as what was the average. Sometimes there wasn't any. There was not enough to be, in our family,
mm-hmm.
not enough to be average. Now, I'm not talking about others,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure others struggle too.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the Chinese in general were affected by the Depression?
Well, again, I say fortunate because in the Chinese culture, we we can make do. It's very different. Luckily, our food's thin. It's very, very modestly priced. We're very reasonable. And they are so varied. And you can do so much with so little. Say a couple of vegetables and just bits of meat in dishes that made it possible to exist. And I believe really that when you think of it, analyze it, that's why the families did survive. That the children were not fed junk. Were expected to subsist on vitamins and cheap foods, but real food from the soil, poultry. Eggs. Well, not cheese, no, not so much milk either.
Mm-hmm.
But the good old soybean, which I've been recently reading up on.
Mm-hmm.
That is so very, that has taken the place. I think, in fact, in China it said that soy milk was used.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting article. And the Chinese made them, the Chinese families made the most of it. And luckily enough, as I say, we had that much ingrained in us from our parents that we prefer Chinese food today. And we always had some Chinese condiments, groceries, many dried types of foods, dried foods that have a good keeping.
Mm-hmm.
good keeping qualities.
Have you ever heard the comparison made that Chinese are like Jewish people in some ways?
Are like Jewish people?
Yes.
Yes, they're thrifty. They're very innovative. I think that proves I'm trying to say that about food. You do so much, many different things with the same foods and making use of every part of it, from the root to the top leaves.
You see, you think the Chinese and the Jewish are similar in
yes,
doing
and
these
kinds also,
of things.
I think they have that ability to experiment. And to go after what might to the average seem unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe a spirit of adventure. I think that's what brought our parents here in the first place, to come that long ways, to spend those 3 months on the boat, not knowing what was ahead, not having really contacts here, you know.
Okay, you were just saying a minute ago that you think the Chinese have been one of the most successful groups of minorities,
mm-hmm.
and the most wealthy. I think how do they compare with the Jewish as far as that goes?
Well, there I think there's a line. Again, I'm not too versed, but on the Jewish side, they seem to have excelled in big business and corporations, in nationwide projects and businesses, whereas the Chinese, in the beginning, began very small. That is, to me, the amazing thing is out of that they expanded to a fantastic degree. And of course, I think that they were, they had less access than the Jewish people. The fact they were Asian, you know, made them distinctly apart from Caucasian, whereas the Jewish people, though they are considered, I believe, historically, as Asian in Israel, I believe that the Jewish people had more open access to opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What did you or others think of the way Chinese were portrayed in movies, in American movies?
Well, again, it's like all other movies. So much is just fantasy. And some poor taste.
Did you feel badly that Chinese were portrayed?